5-0, approval of minutes. Under 6.1, we have regular council minutes for June 12, 2018. Were there any errors or omissions in those minutes circulated? Hearing none, and motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Kelly, seconded by Councilor Mews. Any discussion? Ready for question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have nothing today. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. Under 8.0, economic development, we have 8.1, termination of intermunicipal agreement for a framework for the continued operation of the regional enterprise network. Who would like to take the lead on 8.1? Councilor Fancy.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality agree that pursuant to Clause 14.2 of the Regional Enterprise Network Intermunicipal Agreement entered into on August 20th, 2014, that the Mayor and the Chief Administrative Officer be authorized to execute an agreement to terminate the intermunicipal agreement for a framework for the continued operation of Region Enterprise Network, with said termination being effective no later than September 30th, 2018.
Seconded for that. Councilor Fisk. Are there any questions as per the documentation that was circulated with the agenda? Councilor Fancy.
I guess, well, with this, how are we with the others? Did everybody back out or not? Is that a fair question to ask at this particular time?
CEO, would you like to respond?
We met the week or two ago, a couple weeks ago, I guess, to review it. Originally, there was 7 of 9 that was drawn. At the meeting, one other member of the 9 agreed to withdraw and submit their letter. So now there was 8 of 9. The ninth municipality said they wouldn't hold us up, but they would not withdraw. And so the only way to do it is through the termination process. And so we're hopeful that they will agree to terminate because they will not agree to withdraw.
So what's the difference?
Withdrawal they see as essentially quitting or failure, whereas terminating, we're all terminating at the same time. They don't want to be seen, my interpretation only, they don't want to be seen as withdrawing from the REN because it doesn't look favorably upon them. But essentially we're operating a REN now that isn't functioning. And so to continue on would be, I would suggest, a unwise use of taxpayers' money. So it's wise for all of us to withdraw, but where one won't, the only option left to us according to the agreement to reduce our liability of taxpayers' money is to have everybody terminate the agreement. And the plan here is to terminate effective September 30th. If all the municipalities agree, they've all been asked to do this in the next couple weeks. If they all agree, then that would be the termination time for the staffing, and then we would have to serve notice on leases and all those other types of contracts and agreements. Try to wind things up by March 31st. Some of it, I believe the lease for the property goes to August of next year, but we hope that if we can terminate some of this other stuff now, that there will be some savings left in the surplus fund, and we'll fund that until August of next year. And so there will not be any more liability for the municipalities, is the hope. If we don't terminate by September 30th, then we're going to get into next year's budget year, funding more costs with no service, which is unfortunate that happens.
So the whole idea is that by termination, it may not be, make it look more favorable with the government than just saying it withdraw. Is that, I guess, that's what the whole thing is, just how in the sight of the government. I don't know. That's the only thing I can see from it.
Well, I don't think the province really is, I think the province is disappointed that we're winding up the operation. We have met with them on a couple different occasions, and they're asking if there's some way we can create a similar REN model with maybe a smaller group or other groups. As I mentioned, I think the last, previously we discussed this matter, we've had some discussions with Lunenburg County about another Lunenburg Queen REN again, and Lunenburg County wants nothing to do with us.
That's true.
And my understanding is Shelburne County wants to go, if they're going to move, they're going to go with the Western REN down in Darwin Digby. And so we become an island. So we did submit a letter to the minister about that, and the minister's reply simply was that he will not make a decision over weekend. Our own REN, Queens County, until this whole issue is worked out. So once we hoping that the province doesn't want to divide and conquer, I guess, and have a rent in each county. That was the reason why they had six, which was for more regional economic development as opposed to individual. But unfortunately, if you don't have a dance partner, then it makes it impossible for us to proceed without a partner unless we do it on our own.
Thanks for the update.
And I would like to point out that the region of Queens is one of three regional municipalities in Nova Scotia. And as our CAO has indicated, Halifax, as a regional municipality, has an agreement with the province, similar to the rent fund. Yes, Councillor Ferrer?
I'm struggling with this for a couple of reasons. Because I know, after talking to Mayor Moody from Yarmouth, they have a very successful REN in place. So, and I'm not sure of the difference. I think it's obviously different people at the table. But I'm encouraged when I hear her and she talks about it and that they're able to do it well, and there are different communities involved in that, so it's not just a singular thing like we're proposing. The second thing is that I always like to hear from the people themselves. So we had it scheduled that they were going to come do a presentation. It got canceled because of weather. We've never heard back from them. We receive reports. We know that they're doing some things. We don't know how it affects us. And I know we have a liaison, but they were off to a rocky start for sure. We definitely didn't see the results that we wanted, but they are doing some work. And still, I don't have a clear picture of what we're terminating. We're terminating something based on other people's opinions. So I'm struggling with that.
Perhaps I could clarify to some extent. The Yarmouth area REN has a different financial makeup than the South Shore REN. We have a per capita fee based on the number of residents. The Region of Queens pays $31,000 approximately into the REN every year. Looking at the Western REN, some municipal units are topping up according to population on a per capita, but they have a basic $15,000 entrance. We have some municipal units in the South Shore REN that are paying less than $1,000 per year. They can't afford to the model that's in the Yarmouth area REN. We have a number of municipalities that have various thoughts on what the REN should provide and the amount of money they should pay. I should tell you that Board, which is the arm of the REN that does the physical work, that manages staff, that does the business plan, they have not been functionable in 2018, because they do not have a quorum to actively manage their business, and they do not have a plan as such approved by the liaison and oversight committee as the criteria of the REN required. So in essence, we have staff that are working at a very limited function in 2018, and our hands are tied. We have basically a REN that is not functioning yet. We are committed financially, and all of the aspects of every partner in the REN has concerns, especially the geographical. So it is the feeling, at least of 7 of 9, that it is not working and does not look to be working in the future. So that is where we are today, and hopefully that brings you up to date. Any other councillor have a question today? Okay. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? It passed. Thank you very much. Moving on to 9.0, corporate services. We have 9.1, first right of refusal order on disposition of Mercy Branch 38 Legion. Who would like to make the lead with 9.1? Councillor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality agree to consider accepting all those lands and buildings of the Royal Canadian Legion Mersey Branch 38 Liverpool at some date in the future according to the following conditions. Upon the surrender of the charter of the branch, all properties held by Nova Scotia Nunavut Liverpool Branch number 38 Royal Canadian Legion shall be offered under a first right of acceptance refusal unto Region of Queens Municipality for the benefit of the citizens, veterans and seniors included, of Queens County, or as may be required. required any other responsible continuing community organization that may be decided upon by the membership as per Article 120 to 124 of the general bylaw as applicable.
Seconded for that motion? Councilor Frehley? Are there any questions on that report as circulated previously with the council? Are you ready for the question?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have an update under 10.0 Engineering and Works. The Director of Engineering, Brad Roder, will provide that momentarily.
Mr. Mayor, just one point on the last item. It's 038, not 038.
We will have it sold.
I'll give you a brief update of Capital Works plus some storm damage repairs. We'll start with the storm damage repairs. Of course, everyone's aware this past winter we suffered some storm damage, primarily in our location within the municipal responsibilities. It's Bootlegger Lane, Four Point, and Beach Meadows. They all suffered significant storm damage. Bootlegger Lane and Fort Point, the shoreline related damage was it primarily Beach Meadows, of course, destruction of the walkways onto the beach. On Bootlegger Lane and Fort Point, what we did to remediate was to install rock armor neatly. We built it up and widened it. Additionally, in Fort Point, the unit pavers within the walkway were all relaid and some new ones had to be installed. And we installed some deeper countersunk aging stone, sort of a special stone, and some special type mixture, sand tight mixture, not really sand, just designed to interlock and tighten up the pavers a little bit so they'll avoid some of that splash. In Beach Meadows, three of the four walkways with stairs or ramps, depending on location, onto the beach were completely constructed from new, and they were built stronger and more robust than those that were destroyed, had a greater foundation depth and base. But understand, of course, any structures like that that's located next to the sea, when the sea wants it, the sea's going to take it back again eventually. But we did make some significant upgrades, and we extended that period of when that might happen in the future. But the right storm in the right direction, yeah, we'll have problems again. But it should, hopefully won't be next year. Capital Works, we'll start with Union Street. That sewer and water that's gone, going from Main Street to Church, including Mill Lane. Currently, the water and sewer laterals are installed just short of Parker Street, and laterals installed just past Mill Lane. Job's going pretty well. We're about where we thought we would be. Of course, like any job, there's been a few hiccups. We've had some equipment breakage, some water rooting in that area. And of course has been bedrock, but manageable on average, I'd say 2 to 3 feet depth averaged overall, some higher, some lower, some just underneath the asphalt, some areas no rock at all, but on average 2 or 3 feet is what we had to break out. So we will be in and around and done through Church Street in about the middle of July. Return back to Mill Lane to do that short section of street with all the mains done in a month. Then we'll move into finishing the laterals, those that remain, and set the catch basins, followed by the sidewalk construction, road basin, and pave in the early fall. Brooklyn Sewer and Water, we started that last week. A couple weeks later than we planned, we were awaiting the sign off on the detour permit, but we did finally get that. First thing we had to do once we landed on site, well, move the equipment on site obviously, but after that was to fix and extend one culvert in the area. It was in the way and it was too short, so we had to do some work on that. Then we started the installation of the sewer main. That would be the gravity sewer and the forest main. We began at the park edge just south of Dexter and working towards Markland. Currently we're about halfway between Dexter and Markland with the gravity sewer and the forest main. No laterals installed just yet. Within a few weeks, we'll begin the installation of the pumping station. That's there near the park edge, on the north end. That will probably take a month or so, maybe a little more. Who knows? It's very deep at that location. And of course, there's tidal influence because it's the bottom of it's below the level of the ocean. And it'll be quite challenging to get that in place at that location. Now with a pressure sewer present within the right-of-way, within the street, that's the forest main, the water main actually has to go on the opposite side of the street, separately and apart in a separate trench than the sewer. So once we get the pump station in and installed, then we gotta go back along that route and install the water main, then pick up any sewer main. When all that's done, that we'll be in about mid-fall with it paved. So any questions?
Questions of council? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Good to see the construction happening down in Brooklyn and District Fred, and very few concerns from anybody at the present time. I did get a message from a person that lives on Markland Avenue that a lot of the traffic is going up that road.
Yep.
And so what I did is I contacted Jerry Smith, the traffic authority, and he's going to be placing one of those speed monitors there just to keep people not speeding up the hill.
On behalf of the RCMP?
Pardon? On behalf of
Yeah.
He's going to
that's outside his jurisdiction.
But everything else is on target. And,
yep.
I'll certainly be pleased that sewage will be averted and going into our system.
Councilor Frilly?
Just a question just out of curiosity and to better understand. All the work that you had to do because of the storm,
yep.
I mean, that's a fair amount of work that you have to do. It's going to get worse every year. I'm just wondering where that comes from. Because, you know, some years you may not have any damage, but this year you had 2-3 storms. That really, really did the number on that area of Fort Plain. So how is that covered?
Part of it was funded last year under operating towards the tail end. There is some cost to some of those line items you're going to be going over. Probably, I would say, Fort Point, that'll probably be over $10,000, $12,000, $13,000. Beach Meadows, that will be over a little bit too. You know, I guess at the end, if there's operating surplus at the end of the year, it'll come out of that. Is that correct, Chris? Not then reserve, I guess.
I mean, so whenever there's damage to property, we have to fix it for public safety, so we each have full fight. So it's not something that's normally budgeted. There is a certain amount of equipment repair and maintenance that's in the budget, but if something like that for public safety, we just have full fight.
Just curious. Thank you.
Any other councilor? Question?
If I may, I just wanted to compliment the Works Department grad on a fantastic job at White at the Fort Point.
Fort Point, yes.
Yeah, just amazing what they've done there. And they reinstated
you know, the paving stones and all that stuff, and the armor rock around there really is good, so.
We really didn't plan on doing that much work on the paving stones, but to build that armor rock, you have to drive equipment over the paving stones, and once you do that, it displaces them, distorts them, so you gotta pull it all out and lay it all over again.
But
we really didn't plan on doing that, but that's the way it worked out.
Give them my compliments on a great job, well.
Any other counselor? Thank you, Brad, appreciate it very much. We have nothing today under 11.0 finance, nothing today under 12.0 recreation and community facilities. Under 13.1 planning, we have development agreement, automobile service station, 10466, Highway 8, Harmony. Who would like to take the lead on that?
Just before we go away from the recreation community facilities, we should mention about the July the 1st activities that are being held.
We can come back to that later.
Okay.
Mike, the director of planning, Mike McLeod, if you'd like to take the seat. So, we are in a position where Councilor Freilich and Councilor Kelly were not in attendance at the public hearing, so they will not be able to participate in this decision today, as per protocol. So I would ask, who would like to take the lead on 13.1? Councilor Johnson?
This is my backyard, so. I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt an administrative policy respecting a development agreement with Devin Smith to allow for the establishment of an automobile repair shop in the mixed-use rural residential R5 zone on property identified as PID number 701-570-52 and located at 10446 Highway 8.
Second to that, Councilor Fisk? Would there be any questions of council on this issue that are circulated and as per the public hearing? Councilor Johnson?
I'd like to just make one clarification, because I know last night there was a lot of using the term service station versus repair shop.
Yeah.
Is there a differentiation, or is it just?
It falls under the category of, service stations and automobile repair stations are part and parcel of the same thing, so that's falling under current definition. Yep.
Any other councilor have a question or a comment on this? Councilor Fancy?
One other thing too is that with the R5, I think we were talking about that's mixed residential, right?
Mixed use residential, that's correct.
Mixed use residential. So it covers a lot of things, but it doesn't cover this. That's why we have to make an exception to not changing the actual zoning.
That's correct.
We're just changing and making an exception to this.
Under existing policy, as you mentioned, the mixed-use rural residential R5 zone has quite a broad list of permitted uses, but this type of commercial use is not in that list of permitted uses. So council has established policy that they can consider such uses through the development agreement process.
Just to follow up, would there be another zone that could do this, or because of... I'm just asking just for my own, just for curiosity.
I guess the zone that would allow for that commercial use as of right would be a highway commercial zone, but it also allows for quite an extensive list of other types of commercial uses. So in order to give council, I guess, a better degree of control over that new types of uses that the development agreement process is certainly the best method to address those types of uses within the rural residential landscape.
Councilor Fisk?
I just want to make a comment that Mr. Smith, I know, went around the area and approached the nearby neighbors to find out if they were agreeable with the process for go ahead, and they were all agreeable. They were very much for it.
And certainly part of our process for the development agreement and the public hearing process, we send out letters to property owners in the immediate area, just notifying them of the public hearing, the date and the time, and what is being proposed.
as well as the advertising in the papers. So, so I guess Mr. Smith had gone beyond our communication and contact with the abutting property owners. And certainly those in attendance at the public hearing last night, the comments were certainly in favorable of,
yeah,
of the application. So
they certainly need the repair shop. The repair shop. The new location.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Mike, if I may ask, council has all of the information that's available at this point on this issue.
That's good. That's correct.
Thank you very much. Are you ready for the question?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Under reports, we have a update on the Orchard Union event. I would ask Steve Burns if he would come forward. And after this report, we could perhaps address the question that Susan McLeod alluded to earlier on the report on Project New Basin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, just congratulations to the organizers of Privateer Days. Did all kinds of great things. Be able to get down and see some of the event, and a special congratulations on the realization of the goal of the Terrence Tiger Warrington statue. Simply amazing. Ivan did amazing work, and of course, amazing contributions in making that project come to light. The attention to detail in that is quite striking. So over the last, since 2015, Region of Queens and Queens Place Mayor Center, you know, we've been promoting and doing our own concert events. And this is something, you know, very unique in the province right now, and we're one of the few that has continued to promote music at the multi-purpose and medium-sized facilities. We've had the luxury of, having Blue Rodeo, the Beach Boys, Tom Cochran, and Bare Naked Ladies, actually two of those shows being last year. So this year, you know, presented a little bit of a challenge for us as to, it's always finding that needle in a haystack. And it was, quite exciting to be able again to offer up a kickoff to summer event for folks in the region of Queens and invite guests to come and join us. So back in January the 24th, you know, we announced the region of Queens and to the public over at Queens Place that we were going to bring in the concert event. And in keeping with, you know, the wide variety of genres that, you know, we've been hosting, it made sense this year to try and do something country. So the headliner chosen was the Washburn Union of British Columbia and won CCMA Awards, basically rising stars in the business. And, you know, it was believed they'd bring that high energy and upbeat music to folks. And we were able to also add Jason Benoit. Now, Jason Benoit is an East Coaster, and he's also Kalapu First Nation and from Fox Island, Newfoundland. So Jason, you know, it made sense to bring Jason in to bring us the East-West connection. And he also was getting ready to launch a new single and stuff. So Jason added a lot to our show. And then we had, you know, additional opportunity. You know, we knew of a young lady here in Queens who had shared the stage with Terry Clark and become social idol at the social exhibition. And so it was churned, you know, should we bring young Autumn Ray Carver into the event? You know, I think at the event, you know, you heard the words born ready. I think it worked out. So when we launched this event, we did a little different than the usual back in January. We did a little video presentation and tried to get people familiar with Washburn Union and Jason. We had Autumn there in person. We also introduced the theater-style seating plan, and we introduced bar services to the floor for this event. And so with that, we worked together with alcohol and gaming. We worked on in order to do that, we had to have, you know, certain levels of lighting and ID measures, et cetera, in place. And it seemed to have worked out, as the overwhelming response to the show was very, very positive. The event was budgeted to break even, and we were successful in that venture. And that's really important for the, you know, for our taxpayers. So obviously our revenues came from ticket revenues, our bar revenues, merchandise commissions, business sponsorship, very important. And those are all weighed against the cost of the event. And those included our performers, our sound lights and backline, our teardown and our startup and teardown, our transportation accommodations, our catering, and the overall marketing of the show. From a local perspective, local hotels, you know, were sold out. There was excess of 100 room nights that can be attributed for just the one night of this show. And the eating establishments that were pulled were busy. So that was really encouraging. And the Snug, the new vendor at the new concession operator at Queen's Place, they're very pleased with basically their introduction, you know, as into major events at Queen's Place. So they're very pleased with that. It was particularly pleasing that we were able to use Queen's Place Marin Center, owned and operated by the Region of Queens, to showcase local talent on a very large scale. You know, Washburn Union, their ties to Warner Music Canada, so there were eyes on this event and to see what kind of event would take place. The Washburn Union, they were quite a special group of guys. They seemed to be our kind of folk. They were very engaged with the audience, and after the show, it was quite striking to see. They probably stuck around 45 minutes to an hour interacting with the fans and getting photos done, actually putting their own merchandise tables up, taking their own merchandise tables down. They were very, very involved in the show, so it was fantastic. There was a vision for the night that Miss Autumn Ray Carver would have her moment. And what was really pleasing, I think, was that the Washboard Union management team, led by Sakamoto Agency, they put their heads together and agreed to allow Autumn to perform a song with the guys. And this song was Seven Bridges Road. If any of you ever done a little Googling, you know, Megan Patrick has a version of that on online, done with Washburn Union. And Autumn more than exceeded expectations. It was amazing. I know there's a video on the Queen's Place site. It's over 4,000 views right now. So, you know, that word is traveling for the young lady. As well, people were able to see what talent we're showcasing here at Queen's Place. Washburn Union wasn't known to all of us or a number of us. And, you know, they opened up with Shine and just kept it rolling. Very, very positive, very, very great musicians in their interaction. It's also really important to emphasize that our local businesses that step up and help out with the show in sponsorship, really, really important. So, you know, DVL Publishing, your local, that's Chastity Allison. Cole Auto Sales, so Wayne and Jean. Brady's Home Building Center, Stu and Cheryl. White Point, Best Western, QCCR, Blue Nose RV out of Bridgewater, Tuscott Ford out of Yarmouth. All those business contributors help show costs, but also help show promotion. Very, very integral to having a successful show. The facility, you know, our facility is very much a hub facility. We're an hour and a half accessible. Halifax, Yarmouth Valley, that's very attractive to folks that want to come out and see some great entertainment. And we need folks from away to come and supplement, you know, our local crowd. And in this instance, again, you know, it worked. And we had, you know, 30% of the folks come from away and come in and buy goods and services in the community, buy their tickets, and enjoy the show. But also, you know, the show doesn't go on without volunteers. So volunteers, you know, again, did a wonderful job on the event. And in the build-up to the event, You know, our Public Works Department, they take all the pieces for the show, the stage and the floor and the other items, over to Queen's Place. A number of them integrate with the Queen's Place crew, Dave Kelly and the guys, as they prepare the building. Megan and Roz and their teams, you know, all play integral roles in making this event happen. So it's truly about teamwork, and that's why these events are successful. Another thing we seem to have going for us, I cannot recall one event that we've done that the sky hasn't been immaculately blue and no rain. Like, it's just been amazing. We just, I don't want to jinx us, but I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. Again, you know, certainly these gentlemen, again, you know, Jason and the Washburn Union guys, tremendous people to work with, tremendous people. Their agency were tremendous to work with. Those relationships are just so important. And when we're having good working relationships with the agencies and the artists, we're at Travels. So we may be small, but we are mighty, and we're on the search for things that come with reasonable cost, the least of risk, etc. And that just makes good sense. And we get more little reach outs than we were. So, you know, the resume continues to build. We're doing good things. We keep the ball rolling. So we had a quote from the night from, we enjoy quotes, back when Charlie Pride was here in 2014. Ryan Edwards from Rocklands Entertainment, the promoter of the show, gave us a quote. And it's been four years since we got a quote. So the tour manager, Drew Zibin, for the Washboard Union, gave us a quote that we will use. And it says, "Acoustics in the arena are great. Not many facilities have put a lot of thought into acoustics. We knew within 5 minutes we were not going to have any issues." And so what a great quote to attach to. It was just a fantastic night. Just a fantastic night. Any comments?
Who wants to go first?
I was waiting for the end. Are we going to get an update on financials?
We achieved our break even that we were tasked to make. And it wouldn't be wise, it certainly wouldn't be wise to quote numbers and tip our hand to potential suitors that want to come here and to other areas that want to, you know.
So we just broke even. We didn't go over.
We achieved the goals that we set out, and the taxpayer is safe.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about, and fantastic concert. I mean, I wasn't totally sold when it first came up for Washboard Union, but absolutely amazing concert. And I mean, what were the numbers for attendance?
So based on the seat plan that we put out and the goals put together for the event, we were about 90% of the capacity.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's very strong.
Yeah. And one other thing, yes. Now the only thing I would ask that I was concerned about was, I thought the seating plan in my head, I had when we talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. that there was going to be some sort of larger section in the middle or something like that between the two sides.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be like this. I didn't really sort of get that. And I felt like there was maybe less room at the front, because the only complaint that I heard was, because I was right up there,
mm-hmm.
I was standing in front of people that had front row seats. And
mm-hmm.
The comment afterward was, you know, I have a front row seat and I can't see the stage,
mm-hmm.
because everybody obviously comes up
mm-hmm.
to the front of stage, and that happens
mm-hmm.
at all concerts.
Yes, it does.
And I kind of felt bad after that, but
mm-hmm.
I was, and that's what made me think that there was supposed to be some sort of open plan where people could dance at the front of the stage and not interfere.
No, there was, I guess you're referring to a pit style of, no, there was no pit implemented for this event. And the fan participation at the front was not unlike any other one that we have had. As those acts, they sort of quote unquote invite the folks to the front. So it's basically, there's about 10 feet between the stage and the first row. And, you know, when you're purchasing those front row seats, you know, certainly one of the expectations is that folks are going to be up and moving around. This was a Cavendish Beach style event, basically, too, I guess. So there's a few more people up than the norm. Yeah, yeah. So but we'll look at all. We'll be churning through at all the comments and everything and look forward to the next one and perhaps make some adjustments.
So that seating arrangement that was there on that night, mm-hmm. that's what you expected it to be, or was it
yes,
not?
It was. Oh, okay, yes, it was. Yeah. So you had the, you were coming in on a theater, I guess a curved, more curved view plane if
right.
you were out on the wings.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more yeah. question? So are we actually developed or have we developed an economic impact study framework for these events?
That will be as we move forward. Those will be developed.
That's in the plan, so are
yes.
we working on it for this? Can we have any economic impact other than we have information? Are we getting feedback on
very little
numbers from businesses?
Very little. Some will give you feedback and some will not.
Right. But we're working on framework, so maybe for the next event we will have actually a report back as to what the economic impact is of these events to Liverpool.
As we move forward, we will develop a measurement tool.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councilor Phillips? Well, I too was hesitant when we first started talking about this, but it was an amazing concert and it really was spoke loudly to the community about it doesn't always have to be a big stir. It just has to be a party, and it certainly was. And again, I echo what Heather was saying about dance space, because I know the Fisk family were there in the front row, and they were not happy. But so I don't know how you ever solve that, but it needs to be something addressed. Because I agree, in the middle, there should be a place for people to go. Off to the side, no one's going to dance off to the side. They want to be up front, and the artist expects them to come up front. So I think we need to look at that. The other concern I had was coming into the floor, we've had a ramp there, and all of a sudden there were stairs. And in the theme of accessibility, which we're working really hard at, I mean, I almost tripped out, and I hadn't had my one beer yet. So. You know, older folks and people in wheelchairs or crutches, they would have a hard time. So where's the ramp that we created for that? And
so number one, the building is fully accessible. Anyone, if there had been folks that wanted to access the floor, purchase a floor ticket and have been wheelchair, we could bring them out through the vomitory. So there was no dispute about that. As far as the ramp, with the change in style of event, wanted to slow the pace onto the floor and off the floor, so re-implementing the step this time was put in to do that, and it was well marked as to the fact the step was there, and we had 4 to 6 people right at the gate there. So.
Can you help me from almost falling down? So I think anytime you have an event like that, a ramp, no matter what the maybe this fortifies, people should be slowing people down as they go in, but it needs to be accessible. There's a lot of people, the Fisk family, I mean, a lot of people that were older that needs to get down those steps, and it's jarring when you leave.
I understand.
The first step going down to the other one, because there's no warning, there's no nothing. It visually, dirt, you don't see that step down, and I think that fairness to everybody going in there, that it should always be around.
So the likelihood the ramp is in place the next time is most likely. And again, this was done to slow the pace down, coming on and off the floor. It was done for a reason. So we'll go through the comments and through how we felt that went, and then we'll adjust from there.
I would go back to the sort of the attendances about 30% was from away.
Approximately.
Yeah, approximately. Yeah, that's exactly.
Standard. Yeah.
So 70% was local, so I guess you call it local. So local eateries, you go to Bridgewater, Shelburne,
Bloomberg, Queens.
Yeah, within a half hour or so. The 30% of weight, how do we see that from Yarmouth to Halifax?
Pardon me?
Are we hearing things from down at, like, Yarmouth way? Are we getting a fire team take from that way, or is that kind of...
We do okay to Yarmouth. We do okay to the valley and the city. The city was good this time. I mean, it varies based on
what's going on up
what
there.
The act is, I guess, so...
Sure.
I know, has it been 2 weeks? I don't know. But I know last Friday, you know, the radio station that we had employed in Halifax, they were still talking about the show, playing the songs, and mentioning Queen's Place Mayor Center. So, you know, that's long-lasting advertising, which is good. So, yeah.
I understand with Halifax is every week something going on to you. It's about what people are doing, and what Yarmouth and the valley would be more stable.
It just depends on the show. Yeah. Really pleased with the Halifax draw this time. Yeah. There's been shows that haven't drawn good at Halifax, the ones that have. You know, yeah. Other than that, it's pretty consistent.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Steve.
Kept you in the dark, too, didn't we?
Just can't speak for you. You opened the doors for her. The washboard union management had already called her.
Wow.
You talked to her, encouraged her to go on with her career, and then help her all the way. And I got to also thank Councilor Fairley for giving her the opportunity to Privateers Day. It was just stunning, and I'm so proud of her.
Yes, she was good at the tent.
Yes.
It's okay to get emotional.
She'd be very proud.
I'll give you a hug after.
One or a month.
Steve, great event. It was overwhelmingly accepted, and the music was awesome. Once I got on stage, it was just song after song after song after song, with everybody just getting up and, you know, caught up in the moment kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I know there were some complaints or concerns about the Creed shows that were a little bit long, you know, before that. I know there were two opening acts, and, you know, I wouldn't change it any other way now, of course, of, you know, the results of that, but that was only the negatives I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And but I wondered, how was the liquor sales on the main floor? How did that go over?
As expected.
Did you do some changes with that?
As expected, and it went well.
Very well?
Yeah, went really well.
Yeah. So you would do it again?
Allowed us to achieve break even. There you go.
But all in all, it was a great event, and another one to put up there on the display wall. And you should put big stars on them. You know, these are awesome signature type events. So
yeah. Thank you.
Councilor Johnson. I think you read your arm up earlier. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just stretch it.
Haven't been around. Thanks for
the news. I don't think I'm hearing Steve's. When's the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's been asked.
We're working on it. That's all I can say. And you know, we need to be responsible. We need to do our best to get it right. And I'd love to sit and tell you what's on the books, but just be a little patient.
I know that.
At it. We're at it.
People saying, you know, just looking at two or three a year, and they want, you know, the Washboard Union was really a big success.
Cross your fingers for two.
Any other councilor have a comment or questions?
Just wanted a suggestion. I know we're working with different genres of music, you know, and I hope gospel's in there somewhere in that list, because after hearing that choir every Privateer Days at the tent, I mean, it just opens up a whole new, you know, likeness of that type of music, and I know that would be a great.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Our number.
Councilor Fancy? One other question. How did we make out parking?
all kinds of parking spots.
Did it work out well?
All kinds of, you know, if you go to Scotiabank Center, you park in the garage or you park on the side of the road. We had the luxury for a lot of years with two overflows over at Ameris Center, Queens Place, which would, you know, God put it up 450 spots. So there was, you know, I mean, between all the parking areas around, lots of parking. And the weather was great, so that's really helpful.
And they could walk.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
There's 200 and, you know, it's 200 plus parking spots paved at Queens Place. And probably another 150 between the upper lot and along the side of the road, and I'm probably underestimating that. So lots of spots. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Very interesting report. Look forward to potentially another action later on.
Okay. Candidate?
Yes.
Okay. So just a quick update on the candidate. There's an ad coming out in the Breaker on Thursday. And so candidate at Queens Place from 11 to 3. And includes Mercy Skate Park. There'll be some Crossfire Productions. I'll be over there doing music for the folks. And then we have the Vancey Kingdom folks in, and they're bringing the, they call it the RC, I call it the NASCAR game. So it's interactive NASCAR stock driving type thing. So folks will find that fun. Atlantic Circle will be in with the Magician and the Jugglers and the and those types of items. Little Rays will be in with the Small Show. Katie First Nations will be doing crafts. And the Wilderbeats will be in, they're going to be in at 11:30 with music for the young folks. And Catahoula Brown for the adults. So that's an addition this year. That's an addition for the adults. And that is taking place at 1 o'clock. And then in Milton, there's also on Sunday from 11 to 1 at the Memorial Hall. There's cake and hot dogs and games. And in Caledonia, from 9 a.m. to dusk at the fairgrounds, all kinds of things going on. So, yeah.
Questions
about
Because this is under recreation as well, or is that you organize these events?
Well, I come up with the framework and then I work with Megan on it. And then the other events independently are done in Milton and Caledonia, most things.
Partnership.
Yeah.
So did that answer all the questions?
On recreation and community facilities, I should give a little update on Carter Beach.
Yeah.
The region, we had an agreement with, I'm not sure, DNR or who it is, that if they put in permanent outhouses that we would pump them out. We will not put in the permanent outhouses this year. So DNR is going to be putting out porta potties and taking care of pumping them out. The region has nothing to do with it. I'm not impressed. I don't know why they're taking so long to do it. One of the things they're saying is if they put a permanent outhouses in, it's going to attract people. I don't see how it is. I don't go on the website and look and see if they have permanent outhouses there. The other thing, they haven't given us any land for a parking lot. Going to have problems with parking again this year. The committee feels that if we make places for people to park, that's going to attract more people. So the region has nothing to do with Carter Beach this summer. The people are calling me. I'm giving the people that's on the committee their names and tell them to call them. They have a summer student there. Going to help a lot. They have, they're going to try the new pack in, pack out. They haven't taken the garbage can away yet. But it's funny, they got the pack in, pack out, and they hired somebody to go down every day and clean the beach. That really works. I don't know how. It's going to be a trial, I think, till the end of July.
Councilor Cancy, you have a question?
Yeah. How's the parking going to be?
It's on both sides of the road up to the houses, and then it goes from the ocean side right up to the end of the Carter Beach Road. There's no parking. And last year, it was a lot better. I should have mentioned that in the report. The RCMP and Department of TIR was there at one of the meetings. And like they told them, you know, people are going to park in the wrong place. But they're not criminals. You know, the residents are going to, they wanted the RCMP to be out there right away and give them tickets. These are families. These aren't criminals. You know, so they're going to do checks. And then go out and check and stuff like that. The committee wanted to have, like, I think, five houses up to have no parking on both sides. I don't think TI hires both.
Councilor Johnson? Kevin, you mentioned about the pack in, pack out. Say that was just a test until August.
That's what they wanted at a trial, like, 2 years, and we said, no way. But I think with the student there, it will work. She'll be talking to people when they're there. But it's only till the end of July that they're going to look at it.
I think as a region, I think maybe we should ask of DNR, if that's not their policy across all provincial picnic parks, so if they haven't put their scans in any of the picnic parks, they don't know if they're going to be living close to them.
I would add to that, it's not a picnic park, it's a
designated,
it's a nature reserve designation that's going from the artist.
His is, but all of the picnic parks are all very much in line with the initiative that Jack took. I mean, all of us were, what was it, get your junk out or whatever it is, you know?
Don't get your junk.
It's a region, we're going to try to stay green. That's a huge focus for when the tourists stop.
No, it's something we can look at. So does that fulfill your update on the parking space today? So we're moving on now to 15.0 in camera. A motion to go in camera would be in order. Moved by Councilor Kelly, seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We are now in camera. We'll take 10 minutes.